Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Tova Brandt, and she's the Albert Ravenholt Curator of Danish American Culture. And we're going to be talking about someplace I don't want to be today, I think. That's out on the plains.
It's a little windy and cold, yes.
Yes, it is. So, of course, we're going to be talking about one of the numerous exhibits there that perhaps we need to come and find out about. This would be a good day to be inside at the museum.
It would be, and of course, we're open 7 days a week. Even this frigid weekend coming up, you can stop by. Our newest exhibition, it opened just in time for Yule Fest last November, is called Happy Danes on the Plains.
and so that could, you know, just hearing that makes me smile. So, tell us about, I'm assuming these are people who are, we're not just talking about Elkhorn or Southwest Iowa, we're talking about bigger area than that.
We are, and we're talking about a specific group of communities that were kind of intentionally settled by Danish immigrants and Danish Americans who shared an interest in maintaining Danish culture while they settled in new communities in America. And so some of these can really appropriately be called colonies. They places like Tyler, Minnesota, Asco, Minnesota, Dagmar, Montana. These are places where groups of Danish Americans bought a parcel of land, and they actually had a rule that in the first two or three years, only Danes could buy parcels within that township.
They're being discriminating.
But they wanted to have a critical mass of people who would be able to maintain the language, the culture, the folk life in a community. So it's a particular kind of section within Danish American history.
Okay. Were schools established then in most of these towns and areas?
Yes, schools would be in all of them. Most of the Danish cultural information was taught eventually through the church, because there were, you know, public school standards that communities had to meet, but especially through summer Bible school, which would not just be Bible study, but also folk dancing and gymnastics and other kind of cultural things as well. A lot of these towns are the places where Danish folk schools were founded as well, and those were more for young adults who would go to, you know, maybe a season, maybe a year or two. These were folk schools in the Danish model that did not have grades, no tests, no certificates, no exams, but it was the value of, you know, ongoing education after the kind of requisite public education was done, and the idea that you would get together with other members of the community and continue to learn and grow as an individual.
Yeah, it sounds like education for the whole life, not just on a particular subject.
Exactly, and that was a major value for this kind of wing of the Danish Lutheran Church. The title "Happy Danes on the Plains" comes from kind of a titles that we've put on some of these different Danish immigrants from a historical perspective. And sometimes we talk about Happy Danes and Holy Danes. And so there were two different Lutheran church organizations among the Danish communities. And the Holy Danes were an outgrowth of the Danish Inner Mission, and they were more interested in individual piety and were generally more conservative. The so-called Happy Danes were followers of a very influential Danish churchman named N.F.S. Grundtvig, and he was the one who really came up with this concept of the folk school, and that folk culture and these different aspects of life were also important to value just as part of faith and church community as well.
Okay. How large did some of those populations grow to?
None of the communities grew very large. I don't think that any of the towns would have been more than 1,000 people, and many of them much less. A lot of those towns, you know, don't even really exist anymore, or they have changed so much that they no longer have a strong Danish character. Tyler, Minnesota is one example where the folk school is still an active institution, especially in the summer months. And, of course, Kimbleton is our nearest example. And, you know, Kimbleton still, you know, proudly expresses its Danish history. And the church in Kimbleton, you know, has its own history separate from, you know, from other church communities in our area.
Interesting. And I'm guessing that most of us don't know that.
Right. Exactly. So this is a really good time to come to the museum for some local history. What we've been able to do is combine this broader exhibition about Happy Danes on the Plains, which touches on the larger story and these larger kind of philosophies that are expressed in these communities. But then we also added a special section just focusing on Kimbleton.
Oh, good.
Pulling out some of the things from our own museum collection, many of which are new acquisitions for the museum. So it's a great opportunity to kind of highlight some of these new treasures, like the bass drum from the Kimbleton band is on display, as well as one of the band uniforms from the community band. So,
and that just reminds me, you have many things in storage that we don't see on, sometimes, maybe never, but certainly not on a regular basis, and you pull those out to fit into the appropriate exhibit.
Exactly. Our collection numbers between 35 and 40,000 items. And there's just no way that all of those things could be always on exhibit. There's not enough room. And sometimes it's actually damaging to some things to be on display, to be in the light, to be exposed to that much traffic. So for preservation reasons and to be able to make sure that we can select the pieces that really tell a cohesive story, you know, we are telling stories through the collection artifacts that we have.
And that says, too, just a reminder that those collections change. So if you've been to the museum, you know, in a couple of months ago, there's probably something new out there that you haven't seen. So you always need to kind of put on your schedule to keep coming back to see the new exhibits. I want to just away from the exhibits a minute. I know that every once in a while you have a brown bag lunch that goes on and not a regular basis, maybe some irregular basis, and people should check into that. Do you have a date for the next one coming up?
Well, actually, we have put in a special scheduled opportunity next Thursday. That would be Thursday the 21st. We had such a strong response to our showing of the film about Nejesta Overgaard, who was a longtime Kimbleton resident.
Yes.
It's a one-hour-long film, and we showed it this week and had a completely full house. And so we have added another opportunity to see the film next Thursday the 21st at noon. It's free to the public. We'll provide some coffee and water. You're welcome to bring your own lunch. We'll start it at noon. It takes a full hour, but it's a really wonderful portrait of her story as a Danish immigrant who was actually born in Russia. And then her settling in Kimbleton, the life that she and her husband shared together, and raising their children in this community too. So it really explores the question of, you know, is she more Danish or American, and what parts of her identity are kind of really resonate to those two nations.
Right here at home, right? What a great story. And then I want you to mention a date that we're not going to give the details now, but a date that's coming up that people want to get on their calendar that has to do with detective mysteries.
That's right. That's another event that we are working out the details of. We're calling it Coffee, Crime, and Kringla. We are welcoming a Danish best-selling author. Her name is Sarah Bladel, and she's been writing a series of crime novels with a detective character who's a police detective named Louisa Rick. They've been bestsellers in Denmark, and they've all been translated into English as well. And her latest book is being released in English in February. So we are thrilled to be part of the author tour. She's going all over the United States, and she's coming to Elkhorn on Sunday, February 7th. So we'll have an afternoon coffee, crime, and kringle opportunity to hear about her work, And do a signing. We'll have copies of the books and the most recent book as well. And so probably about 2 o'clock, we're just waiting for the final confirmation from her publishers before we can make sure that all of that information gets okay. out on the radio and newspapers.
We'll visit with you again, and we want to thank you very much, Tova Brandt, of course, who is the Albert Ravenholt Curator of Danish American Culture right over at the Museum of Danish America. And until next time, here's a thought. Management does things right. Leadership is doing it the right way.